This is Jack Llewellyn. Welcome to Chamber Chat. And I'm here with Dan Snowberger, Superintendent of 9R School District. Dan, how are you doing?
Doing fine, Jack. How are you?
You know, if I was any better, I'd have a twin, right? It's kind of a, I have to say, just kind of the new world we're living in. And I can only imagine everything that you're going through. But we're here actually to talk about the upcoming ballot 4A. And I always tell people, start from the bottom of the ballot. So you'll be answering the question about 4A first. And if I understand this correctly, this is, if I look at it right, a continuation of what already is in existence. Is that a safe statement?
It is a safe statement. So, you know, our 2002 bond is nearing the end of its being paid off. Then 2002, when the community approved the bond, we rebuilt Riverview Elementary. We did improvements on all of our buildings. And so this is an opportunity for us to continue charge our taxpayers a very same amount and reinvest $90 million into our school district. And obviously we have a few needs. And so that'll be a great opportunity for us to try to fill some of those needs in the district.
So what I personally like about this, and myself, as well as the Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors have endorsed 4A and in favor of, what I like is, because it's not a new addition to what we're, I'm going to say, already used to paying. That's one of the things that I really appreciate. And the $90 million, what is the breakdown of where those funds will be allocated?
Sure. About $45 million will actually go to rebuilding Miller Middle School. So just like Riverview back in the last bond, the building had really become almost more expensive to fix than to rebuild. And so Miller's in that same situation. We have a building that's been added on to and added on to and added on to, and none of the systems really match anymore. We've got some significant building issues there, and it actually is cheaper for the district to actually rebuild it than to actually try to go in and upgrade systems that are failing in that building. So that's the largest. Second most exciting thing, I think, is our innovation center at the high school. So I think we all know that we're preparing kids for a very different world today. We have been very proud of the career and technical ed programs we have at Durango High School and the opportunities to really prepare kids for work. Unfortunately, those spaces that were designed 50, 60 years ago don't meet the 21st century needs anymore. And so we have twice as many kids who would like welding. We have twice as many students in the construction trades. We have twice as many students in culinary arts and in agriculture and in engineering, that we just don't really have the appropriate space anymore that allows the flexibility to really train our students on the current technology that they need. And so our innovation center will be a brand new building that will sit out in front of the high school and provide our students with great opportunities to really leave high school with some career skills that they can go out and get a job if that's what they want to do, or they can work and put themselves through college and avoid all that debt that so many of us went into when we went to college. Yeah. So we're excited about that. We have lots of deferred maintenance in our buildings, and that's really due to the school funding crisis that started back in 2008. We're owed $55 million in our district alone and past IOUs from the state legislature for funding of K-12 that they've not been able to fund because of the recession and then the impact of Tabor and Gallagher and all of the other amendments that are preventing us from actually growing back to where we were prior to the recession. And so deferred maintenance is huge. Say that's about 20 to 25 million of the dollars. Safety and security is a huge one as well for us. We've got schools that were not built for the challenges and the dangers that exist in our society today. And so all of our schools will receive some new safety upgrades. secured vestibules so parents can get in and actually talk to human beings and yet not be able to get to kids. That's a huge effort. Technology, we still have three buildings that are working off of microwave internet. And so when the atmospheric conditions aren't right, we lose phone and internet at some of our buildings. And obviously online education that we're doing in many cases right now is really challenging. And so upgrading our technology infrastructure, not only at those three schools, but across the district, just to meet the demands and make sure our kids are prepared. So lots of initiatives within this. Back to your point of the 90 million, we probably have 130 million in needs, but we also recognize our community is hurting right now, and now's not the time to ask for more. Our intent is to be very creative and to make this 90 million go as far as we can. And certainly we'll be taking advantage of BEST grants and things like that to bring in some additional dollars to match it.
I have a quick question with going back to the Innovation Center, which I love this idea, especially with how active your Skills USA organization is within the high school. Where's it going to be located? You said out in front of the high school, is it that green space?
Yep, the green space right next to the senior center. It'll be a separate building, and it'll not only be a K-12 building, but a building we hope our community will use after hours. So, needless to say, Pueblo Community College has done a lot of training over at their campus in Mancos, a little too far for some of our community members. And so really a lot of these spaces and training centers that we're building, we want to make sure are accessible to our communities. So we feel like out in front is the easiest way to access. We'll also have some post-secondary space so that community members who want to learn alongside of our K-12 students can do so, and actually still keep our school safe and secure by not having individuals have to come into the main high school.
Well, I'm personally excited to hear this, because I always joke and say, I want to go back to high school to learn the things that I wish I would have taken, such as carpentry, welding. I did take auto mechanics, but learning some of those things that I wish I knew how to do better today. So that's exciting. And that, as I understand it too, with in conjunction with Pueblo Community College, that they'll be housed there. So that's been a great partnership for you.
It has been. And getting kids to actually walk away from high school with a certificate or a credential that allows them to earn a job. We really want to make sure that our children are ready for whatever direction. And, we're not in the phase anymore where kids are either vocational kids or college-bound kids. Our college-bound students are as interested in the vocational trades as our kids who are thinking that's really their long-term desire. So, it's really interesting and exciting to see that, again, like you said, for our own life, if we can fix our own plumbing, we don't have to necessarily pay the price for a plumber. So the more skills we can build, the better. And nothing against plumbers, by the way.
Yeah. So. And it's also, electricians and plumber, but all of those trades that, again, I wish I had the skills to do some of the things. I can maybe change out a float in the toilet, and beyond that, I'm like, okay, I'm out. Let me ask you this about Miller. So will the old school remain open while the new school is being built?
There's three scenarios for Miller. One is a replacement of it on the current field, and that would allow us to keep school open while we built the new building, and then students would migrate into the new building and we demolish the old, have to put in a new field up on the higher level. The other potential is actually partial rebuild. So rebuild or start building a new portion of the building. When that's finished, move kids in and then demolish a portion of the building and then continue that cycle. So those are two of the options. The other one would be relocating our kids. And we've looked at things like, can we keep our sixth graders at their elementary school one more year? Can we have our seventh graders maybe cohabitate with Escalante? Can our eighth graders maybe go on up to the high school in an eighth grade pod and actually finish their eighth grade year up at Durango High School? So we've got a variety of options. We'll be reaching out to our community to really assess those, because obviously we want to make sure that we're all in sync and in agreement on how best to do that.
And then, I'm going to ask this as separate, I'm going to say, from the for a bond issue. But looking in the crystal ball, what are some of the other needs that you see will be needed, you know, years down the road?
Sure. You know, part of our master planning process is also to eventually rebuild Florida Mesa in our Three Springs community. We know that's the largest, fastest growing community right now. Right now, they don't have a neighborhood school. Florida Mesa, while it's a great school, is in a less than ideal location with the highway and increased traffic coming down State Highway 172. So that would be a long-term desire on our part, would be to relocate an elementary school into Three Springs so that we can maintain the feel of a community school. And certainly when children can walk to school safely, it certainly is a nice situation to be in. So that would be a long-term desire. Escalante eventually, we have a middle school site out in Three Springs as well. Escalante right now is surrounded by pretty much commercial property with the exception of the Rocket apartment complex. And so it's no longer a community school either. It's one of our newer buildings. And so certainly it has some consistent life left in it. And our staff there are still very proud of the building they helped design. And so that would be another long-term issue that we'd like to see. You know, I think just maintaining the maintenance and upkeep of all of our buildings, Jack, with the funding challenges that we're facing. We were cut again last year because of the financial crisis due to COVID. You know, right now our state has one mechanism to balance the budget, and that's to withdraw money from K-12 education. And so as long as that continues to happen, what I'm committed to is making sure we don't come back in 10 years to our voters and say, hey, we need deferred maintenance again. And so our board has had conversations about really prioritizing. We've been investing about $1.1 million. Our goal is to invest $2 million a year in upgrading and maintaining our facilities moving forward. And so hopefully this will be the last bond measure that will say, how about all that deferred maintenance? because we, you know, we appreciate the fact that I think folks understand the recession was not something anyone expected in Colorado or across the nation for that matter. And the slow growth that took us till 2018 to actually grow back to the per pupil revenue we were earning back in 2008. So in Colorado, the growth back from a recession is extremely elongated due to Tabor and other constitutional amendments. So again, you know, certainly a lot looking forward. We'd love to eventually build a hub for our therapeutic day school. We've got children in our schools that are definitely dealing with lots of things that you and I growing up probably didn't have to deal with, Jack. And so we've got a therapeutic day school that we've started in the back of our administration building that we'd love to eventually build a facility for, and recognizing we've got kids who have greater needs. And of course, I'd be remiss not to mention the sale of this building, our central admin building. It is a beautiful building. We want it to remain a community icon. We want it to remain a community asset, but it really doesn't function well as a school district building. We can't have children in it. And to have a school district own a building that you can't have kids in is a little counterproductive. And so obviously selling this building and ultimately dealing with where our central admin goes, those are all future challenges that we'll cross when we come to.
Right. Well, again, you know, the Chamber of Commerce, myself, have endorsed 4A on the ballot. So I encourage people to start at the bottom of the ballot, work your way up. Don't get the ballot fatigue with the 11 other things that are on there for the state as well as all the other elections. But Dan, thank you for taking the time for the interview today. And by the way, when you do anything with Florida Mesa, I want the tile my son did back in, like, I think fifth grade, that's in the lobby. Are those still there?
They are. And we'll make sure that we return those or move them as permanent fixtures in the new building. So that could be a possibility.
Well, thank you for everything you're doing in this crazy COVID world. And I appreciate all the efforts that you're doing. And as they say, keep on doing a good job and hang in there.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Jack. I appreciate the opportunity. And again, we appreciate our community that's so supportive of public education.
Right. Well, we have to send it back to the studios. And don't forget, yes, on 4A, you've been listening to Chamber Chat. For Chamber events, check out DurangoBusiness.org. Have a great day.